This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
What is going on, Rams fans? Welcome back to Rams Showcase. Tonight, a lot of stuff to go into. We're talking about the Rams' new logo. Also, Michael Brockers, not a Raven. He's a Ram again. Greg Zuerlein departs. We look at some career benchmarks. And Joe Stradamus returns. All of that and more on this edition of Rams Showcase.
Welcome to Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio.
What is going on, Rams fans? Welcome back to Rams Showcase right here on Sports War Radio. I am your host, Joe Branham, but you can and should call me Sheriff Joe Bags, laying down the law for you guys tonight. And we got a lot of stuff to go into. Like I said, we're talking logo. We're talking Rams' new logo. You think the logo hurt your feelings? Just wait till I talk about it. All right. And then, of course, we do have Michael Brockers. The very interesting story on Brockers originally agreed to a deal with the Ravens. Now he's back. He's back in L.A. Aaron Donald's happy about it. Greg Zuerlein, he's out. Who could replace him? Some career benchmarks. And a lot of these were started because of Greg Zuerlein. So I went in a little deep on looking at those. And then, of course, we got Joe Stradamus for you guys later on. But, you know, I think we first need to start with this logo. I don't know, everybody's mad about it. So many people are mad about this logo. People are in their feelings about this logo for sure. And, you know, I'm not trying to attack you. I'm not trying to say that you're wrong because the logo's not that dope. What I am saying is y'all need to just shut up about it. You guys are being a little too sensitive, okay? That's not how this works. Okay, we do have a new logo. We're just going to go ahead and talk about this, all right? So, let's bring in this other. Let's look at the logo, huh? We do have a new logo. Rams released their logo back on Monday. It is now Saturday, so we've had a little bit of time to digest this logo. I'll be honest, guys. I geared up. I went to my friend's house. We watched this thing live. It was awesome. I waited, you know, all day for it. And, yeah, and then we got it. We got the logo. Okay, so I understand that most of you don't like the logo, and that's okay. It is not the most important part of the team. In fact, I would argue that it's one of the least important parts of a team is the logo. I'm not a Rams fan because of the logo. I know a lot of fans did become fans because of the logo, or maybe the horns on the helmet. I know that that's a very popular one too. But overall, the logo, if just something that's going to be on your t-shirt, I don't think that that defines the team necessarily. I think a lot of the other things define the team. If you don't like it, don't buy it. But I guarantee that people are buying it. I can absolutely guarantee that based on how many things are selling out for this already. So for every one person that you know personally that's not buying this new logo, I know five that are. All right, so if you guys are sitting here thinking that they're not going to make any money, all that, that's just a lie. I know so many people who are buying this stuff. All right, so that's it. This is my point that I'm trying to make with this logo, because, like I said, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the logo. So you can absolutely, you are 100% allowed to hate the logo. You are 100% allowed to voice that you hate the logo and that you don't like it. You don't want to buy anything. That's all good and well. That is absolutely great. What you cannot do is expect the team to change the logo because it hurt your feelings. That's not allowed. We get what they give us. That's the deal. That's how it works. The logo is the logo. I mean, this is it. This is what we got now. This is the logo. I personally, not a lot of people are going to love this comment. I absolutely disagree with what Eric Dickerson is doing right now, saying that he's going to go talk to the team about changing the logo. I 100% disagree with that. That's not how this works. And in my mind, you're an alum. I mean, I know you have the players back here, or the fans back. I mean, you got to have the teams back, man. You got to have the teams back. I think that a lot of people are doing that. You know, Eric Dickerson supporting the fans. I do like that. Being the voice of the fans. But not on stuff like this. Not on stuff that doesn't matter like this. That's I disagree with it personally. And you can disagree with me disagreeing with it. That's totally fine. That's part of the beauty of the world that we live in, is we are allowed to disagree. Here's a list of things that I'm more worried about than the Rams' new logo. Just some questions that I have that I'm more concerned about than the Rams logo. So I'm just gonna plow through these. All right, these are all questions that I wrote down of things that I find more important than the Rams logo. Who will be starting at inside linebacker? Is Leonard Floyd really good enough replacement? Is he a good enough replacement over Dante Fowler? Who is going to be our kicker? Who is going to be our starting running back? Will Cooks be traded? What else would we need to give up to a team for them to take Cooks? If Cooks does leave, is Reynolds good enough to be a full-time starter? With the return of Andrew Whitworth, what does the starting offensive lineup look like? Is adding an offensive coordinator really going to make that big of a difference? Is changing defensive coordinator going to give us some growing pains on the defensive side of the football? Was there more behind not bringing back Nickell Robey-Coleman? How realistic is it that the Rams bring back Mark Barron? Are Ramsey and Hill going to be our starters for years? Or is this a one-time thing? Will the stadium be ready in time for the season to start? Are the Rams at a big disadvantage for leaving the combine early now that pro days and private workouts are now being canceled? And are there really people who want to not be Rams fans anymore because of a logo? Come on. Come on, guys. Get it together. Get it together. I realize that we're all at home and bored right now, but if your biggest problem in the world today is the Rams' new logo, I mean, I'd say you're doing pretty well. Also, just wanted to throw this out there. I'm personally, you know, I agree that the fan-edited logo is cooler than the real one that we got. But I know for me, personally, I am not rocking fan-made gear. A fan-made logo. I'm just not doing it. I want official or nothing. That's official or nothing. That's how it is. All right. I rock certified gear, not some fan-made gear. I don't even know who made that logo. I know that the Rams gave us one, and that's what I will buy. Can we please get over the logo now? Can we please just get over the logo now? I mean, I'm so over this logo. I think that one of the biggest things. That has happened with me, and maybe you guys can try this as well, defend it. Defend the logo relentlessly, because that's what I've been doing, and now I'm starting to like it a little bit, and I don't know if that's because I'm defending it, but I'm pretty sure it is. So, basically, guys, this is the logo. It's right here. Oh, still keep pointing the wrong way, but it's right here, and basically, you can complain about it all you want to. That's totally fine. I don't think that's going to change, though. I really don't. I don't think that Kevin Demoff is the kind of person who would change. We saw the leak come out. Turns out that was real. They saw the feedback from the leak, which was overwhelmingly not positive, and they still gave it to us. So I don't think that they're going to change it. I don't care. I don't think that they're going to care that Eric Dickerson is out here saying that we want different things. And also, you know, just a quick side note, and this is not supposed to be an attack on anybody at all, but if you see a phallic, if the first thing you see in the Rams' new logo is a phallic shape, I think that says a lot more about you than it does the logo. That's not something that I saw when I saw the logo. I'll be completely honest with you guys. That's not, that didn't jump out to me as far as the logo. You know what I saw before? I noticed that because of the internet comments what I actually noticed personally was it looks like it's got a teardrop. That's what I noticed. It looks like it's kind of got, like it's got tear coming down from the eye. That's like the only thing that I was like, oh, that's kind of sissy, but whatever. All right, let's move on. Let's, you know, who's going to be our linebackers now? That was really like genuinely how that whole day went, except for the fact that I tried to buy the Ram Head logo hat and it was sold out within like 30 minutes. So I had to get the LA logo hat, but it's fine with me. I'm going to rock some Rams gear. That's the way it is. So we're going to go ahead and move on. I'm so sick talking about this logo. I'm defending it like crazy. I don't care who disagrees with that. I don't care if you hate it. I really don't care if you hate it because it's our logo anyway. And if you guys really have that big of a problem with the Rams' new logo, there is a team in Los Angeles, another team in Los Angeles, and word on the street is they could really use some fans. So maybe it's worth checking out. We're moving on, though. We're moving on from the logo, I promise. I really do promise. We're going to get it off the screen. So next up, we're going to talk about Michael Brockers. Michael Brockers did have an agreement with the Baltimore Ravens. He has now failed a physical due to his high ankle sprain that he suffered late last season. And that deal basically dissolved. It fell through. So Brockers is now back to the LA Rams on a 3-year, $24 million deal. It can be worth up to a little over $31 million. Pending on if, pending on playing time. Sorry, I was trying to adjust some settings here as I was talking. I kind of got distracted myself. So it can be worth a little over $31 million. Depends on playing time. There's some incentives in there, and of course that's a very good incentive to add to a contract that obviously has it even exists because there was injury concerns with another team. So. Obviously, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It is a little bit unfortunate that I think that the Rams signed his replacement and in A'shaun Robinson and also could have used that literal money, the money that's actually going to Brockers, could have gone to either Dante Fowler or Corey Littleton. And I think that the deals that both of those guys got, Fowler in Atlanta and Littleton in Vegas, I think that the Rams could have afforded those deals. And that's the hard part about watching that happen. But Michael Brockers is back to being a Ram. Aaron Donald, very happy about it. These guys are total bros. So, of course, Aaron Donald's happy about it. But Brockers is back. I think Brockers was better when the Rams were in a 4-3. I think he's a better 4-3 defensive lineman than he is a 3-4. But also, he still does eat up some blocks. He's still a pretty good player, but he was better. He used to be better, in my opinion. So hopefully that kind of turns around, and hopefully we get, you know, some better production out of him. But overall, Brockers is back. Aaron Donald's happy about it. And I'm sure Staley's not too disappointed either, because Brockers is absolutely upper half defensive tackle for sure. Also, Marquis Christian, former safety of the LA Rams, last year wore that number 26, maybe missed Mark Barron a lot. But Marquis Christian had a deal with the Jets, and that one actually fell through as well. There was apparently that one wasn't a failed physical, though. That one actually there was some language in there that the two sides could not end up agreeing on. I'm very curious to see how that what actually happened, what the language was that was missed, or you know, where that kind of fell through. But Marquis Christian back to being a free agent, no longer going to sign with the New York Jets. This is something that we're going to probably see as the offseason moves on, though, is players not being able to get medical done. Obviously, it's very difficult to do medical right now. There are some, you know, like outstanding situations where teams hire somebody in a different state to kind of to work with somebody. But the Brockers thing, those were not Ravens doctors. He didn't go to Baltimore and get a physical and then fail it. Basically what happened was he got checked out and they said, yeah, he does have this injury. I mean, it's a high ankle sprain. Those are not great injuries, but it is also March. So by, you know, August, September, he's going to be fine. But they did have concerns over it. So that's what happened there. Very similar to the Roger Saffold situation, actually. Roger Saffold, if you guys don't remember, when the Rams were in St. Louis, actually, he couldn't agree with the Rams. He went and signed with the then Oakland Raiders and then failed physical due to his shoulder. So the Rams went ahead and brought him back. It was a very incentive-based contract. The wording of it was very much playing time incentive-based. And he became one of the better Rams offensive linemen for the next few years. So very similar situation to that. Of course, Roger Saffold failing his physical in Oakland didn't mean he couldn't play anymore. Okay, that's like, I think a lot of people are kind of concerned over the wording that Michael Brockers failed his Ravens physical and then we signed him right away, which, you know, Doug Gottlieb said it on FSR yesterday. He had mentioned, he's like, that seems like just such a Rams thing to do. Somebody fails a physical, so you sign them to a $10 million plus deal a year. That's a very Rams thing to do. But I almost disagree with what Gottlieb said because the Ravens don't know him. The Ravens don't know his history. We, on the other hand, do. He's been a Ram his entire career. We know what his ankle is looking like. We know what his rehab is like right now. So I think overall, we know him a little bit better. So the fact that the Ravens were like, well, I don't know. We were like, all right, you can come back with us, man. Like, we got you. You're good. You're good. You're good to go. But yeah, Brocker's back. Marquis Christian, still a free agent. This is something we're going to see a lot. I had mentioned this. I did a little quick Facebook Live on the Sheriff Joe Bags Facebook page before I started here. And I had mentioned the Todd Gurley situation, too, because Todd Gurley is yet to take a physical for the Atlanta Falcons. And if he fails that physical, the Rams are kind of screwed a little bit more because they would now owe him $10.5 million based on an injury guarantee from a year ago, his old contract. But if he passes that physical, he signs a $6 million deal with the Atlanta Falcons. So he actually makes more money to fail his physical and just retire than if he plays another year and plays for the Falcons. So that's kind of an interesting little story going on. But overall, I think that he will pass his physical, and I think he will play for the Atlanta Falcons. But it is something to keep an eye on. This is something that we're probably going to see quite a bit, you know, and we'll see what happens, I guess, with certain players. But Todd Gurley is one of those. You know, there's been some talking heads mentioned that if Todd Gurley fails his physical with the Atlanta Falcons, he may very well just call it a career and just leave. You know, he might just be done. And, you know, I wouldn't even necessarily be that surprised. I think I don't want to sit here and bash him, obviously. His attitude has changed. He doesn't seem like he's really into it anymore, which is unfortunate because I think he's a very good running back when he wants to be. Or when his knee allows him to, depending on however your emotions are, whether you think he's just got attitude problems or it's his knee. I don't know. I don't know. So whatever it is, his production did drop. His carries did drop. He says he doesn't know why his carries dropped. I think it's because his production dropped. His average was right in line, his yards per carry average directly in line with Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson, his two backups. So I think that had a lot to do with it. Greg Zuerlein, Rams kicker, is no longer the Rams kicker. Greg Zuerlein signs a 3-year, $7.5 million deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Greg Zuerlein ends his Rams career with the second most points scored in team history with 867, second only behind the great Jeff Wilkins, who scored 1,223 points as a Ram. I'll be honest with you guys, the top five scorers in Rams history are kickers, except there's one little sidebar in there because one of them is Bob Waterfield, who was obviously not just a kicker. If you guys don't know your Rams history, first of all, you're listening to the wrong show. And Bob Waterfield, if you guys don't know the name Bob Waterfield, first of all, you got plenty of time to do some research, so I want to do some Googling, all right? And second of all, there's more basic shows out there. Oh, I want people who know Bob Waterfield. But also, I'm not going to discriminate. If you guys don't and don't care, that's fine. Let's see here. Obviously, Bob Waterfield, not only just a kicker. Highest scoring active Ram on the roster. Okay, this is kind of what this spun my entire life. Okay, this spun my whole world today. I was looking up, you know, where Greg Zuerlein was at with his points scored, all that stuff. And basically, it became, okay, well, where's everybody else at? Who else is on the team that is doing well? And I was a little bit surprised by some of the information that I found out. So the highest scoring active Ram. So of players that are on the Rams roster right now, under contract for the LA Rams, the person who has scored the most points as a Ram, wide receiver Cooper Kupp, who he scored 126 points in his career in his three seasons as a Ram, and is currently 48th all-time in team history. Right behind him, as far as active players, goes to Robert Woods. He scored 90 points as a Ram and is 69th all-time in team history. So we'll kind of circle back around to some other benchmarks, but I did think that was very interesting that the highest scoring Ram now on the active roster is Cooper Kupp, who's going to be entering his fourth season as an LA Ram. By the way, his market value, holy cannolis, his market value right now on SpotTrack is like $19 million a year. The Rams got to sign this guy like next year. So that's going to be an interesting one. But the loss of Greg Zuerlein is pretty big. We'll talk about it here for a minute. But Greg Zuerlein, he did have some injury issues. His consistency definitely dropped this last year. It's very possible that if he could have hit some more field goals, that the Rams would have been in the playoffs. You know, you take away, obviously, the entire season unfolds different if you change the outcome of a week four game. You don't just change the outcome of that game and then everything else goes exactly according to the way it did. The butterfly effect kind of thing. If Greg Zuerlein hits that field goal in week four against the Seattle Seahawks, the season goes different. That's just the way it is. But let's say it doesn't go different and just that game gets changed, just the outcome of that one game. The Rams make playoffs. And, you know, that's unfortunate, Greg Zuerlein. But, I mean, we can look at that stuff and obviously, that's the most recent. You know, that was just this season that we can look at and say, Greg Zuerlein cost us games. He cost us a chance to go to the playoffs. We can absolutely say that. But I'll argue, let's go historical on it. He's not a Ram anymore, so we can go as far back as we want to with him. We can go back to, I can't remember the year, actually. That's kind of disappointing. The year that the Rams didn't lose to the 49ers, the year that the Ravens and 49ers played in the Super Bowl, I remember that much. I just don't remember the exact year. There's people watching this right now like, really, dude? Come on, man. But that year, the Rams didn't lose to the 49ers. Went 1-0-1 against the 49ers that year. Because I remember it was obviously it sucked. We tied them. The only good part about tying them at that specific time was the fact that we got to play them a couple weeks later. We had two games and then got to play them again. And in that game, Zuerlein hit a 50-plus yarder to send it to overtime, and then with 26 seconds left on the clock, hit a 50-plus yarder to win the game. I believe the first one to send it to overtime was a 56, and I believe that the overtime kick was a 54. I could be wrong on that, but, you know, we could talk about that. Let's also talk about the one that the kick that Greg Zuerlein hit, the two kicks, again, a similar situation, that Greg Zuerlein hit against the New Orleans Saints to send the Rams to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's such an iconic moment in team history. And, you know, I think a lot of people are going to bash Greg because of what this last season looked like or some of the games that he cost the Rams this last season. And that's unfortunate. But overall, I mean, we can't forget about the good that Zuerlein did for the Rams and how important he was to the team for so long. One of the last remaining St. Louis Rams, of course, is no longer here, but you know, sending the Rams to the Super Bowl, I'm not sure how many other kickers would have hit those two field goals. To send the game, the NFC Championship, to overtime, and then also hitting that field goal at the end. Because if he misses that field goal, chances are the Rams lose that game. You know, simple. I mean, you put the Saints in such a good position to just go a little bit and kick a field goal themselves. So I don't think we should forget about what Greg Zuerlein did, and I think that we should be grateful for the time that we did have with him, because he's absolutely one of the better, you know, kickers in Rams history. I know we've had a few awesome ones. You know, kickers and running backs seem to always be a thing. But tight ends, why can't we have a great tight end? Just one great tight end. You guys can say Higbee all you want, but he's had four good games. I want a great tight end, an all-time great. We just don't really have that in Rams history, so that would be really cool. But kickers, obviously we got a lot of them. I'm still a Josh Brown fan myself, but Jeff Wilkins, and then, of course, you can go, you know, way back in the day. Langford, that was gonna kill me. But you can go back even further. You got some good kickers in Rams history, but you know, it's all good. Let's see. It's unfortunate, I'll be honest with you guys, to lose Zuerlein. But there are some decent free agents out there right now. We can also look at the draft. There's some interesting names coming out of the draft, and you know, it's kind of interesting because I'm gonna say some of these names, and you guys are gonna know them. But first, free agency kickers, guys that are available right now that the Rams could absolutely just give a call and sign. We've got Nick Folk. He, you know, has had kind of a weird career. He's kind of been all over the place. Adam Vinatieri, obviously we all know who he is. He's super old, but he is technically a free agent. Ryan Succop, definitely a name that I think a lot of us would know. And then Steven Gostkowski is a free agent now after being cut by the New England Patriots. So that would be an interesting one, and that's actually my prediction. A little sidebar, Jostradamus, for you guys, is that I think that the Rams could absolutely sign Gostkowski, and we'll see what happens there. But Vinatieri, he's the old one. 2020 NFL draft. I mean, we got the draft coming up at the end of next month. It's about a month away, and There are some interesting names. There's really one, though, that I would even want, that I would even be interested in, and that is, out of Georgia, Rodrigo Blankenship. Hot Rod, as he's known. But I think he's like the most obvious choice out of the draft, because if you look at some of the other guys, I mean, Ricky Aguayo, 50% kicking last year. 50%. That is not good, okay? That is not good at all. That's good for baseball. That's not good in NFL kicking, okay? So Ricky Aguayo, the reason I started with that one is because I know you guys know that name. Roberto. I'm pretty sure they're just brothers, but Ricky Aguayo, 50% last year. Not very good. Jeff Toner, 12 of 16 last year. So not great, but also not awful. He only had 16 attempts, though. So kind of difficult to judge. And then you also got Tyler Bass, who 71.4% kicking last year. And that's just not, none of those guys necessarily jump out to me. Blankenship actually kind of played worse this last season compared to the year before also. So that's kind of a, there's just those little things. I personally think that Zuerlein was the best kicker that the Rams had access to. That's why I didn't want to see him leave, but you know, it happens. I'm gonna switch around some orders here. First, I want to talk about the remaining St. Louis Rams. We're almost out of them. Okay, we're almost out of St. Louis Rams, but we do have a couple that will kind of still be around for a little bit. So we have Michael Brockers. He makes his return. Michael Brockers. I took him off the list. I took him off the list of St. Louis Rams. And I had Zuerlein still sitting there because I really thought that the Rams were going to bring him back. Those guys swapped spots, and GZ now plays for the Cowboys. Brockers now returning, and he didn't technically play for anybody else, so that stays. His tenure remains, all right? But we do have five active players who played for the St. Louis Rams, and that would be punter Johnny Hecker, defensive lineman, obviously, Michael Brockers, long snapper Jake McQuaid, who's been around quite a while, Aaron Donald, and Rob Havenstein. If I had to take a guess at any of these five that would be the next to go, I would say Havenstein. McQuaid, I don't think that there's really any reason to let him go. You know, he's not necessarily an old guy yet, and he's just a long snapper. That's all we use him for. After that, well, Havenstein, and then I'd probably do McQuaid, but then Brock, and then Heck, and then Donald. I think Donald's going to be here forever. I hope so, at least. I mean, he's pretty amazing in the stuff that he does. But we'll talk about Donald here more in a second. And the last non-active but could technically still return, that would be a sixth name for you guys, is just Bryce Hager, linebacker. But he is technically right now a free agent. I haven't heard any news on Bryce Hager, but he is a free agent at this moment. But just five guys left on this team that were on the St. Louis team, which was again Johnny Hecker, Michael Brockers, Jake McQuaid, Aaron Donald, and Rob Havenstein. Those are your last remaining active Rams who also played for the St. Louis team. And I'm not saying that to take a shot at St. Louis or anything like that. Obviously, I'm in Colorado. I don't care at all. But you know, I don't have any emotions either way towards St. Louis or Los Angeles, really. It's home is where the Rams are. That's where it is. So, which is always right here, right in my heart. Let's see. Oh yeah, let's go back to this. So, I did some research, guys. I did some research and I found some interesting numbers of where guys historically with the Rams are sitting right now and where they're going to go. So I'm talking about statistical benchmarks. Pretty simple. Pretty simple stuff. So quarterback Jared Goff, you know, we all know that Goff is a pretty new guy. He never played for the St. Louis team. He was obviously the first L.A. draft pick when the Rams returned. But Jared Goff is sixth all-time in Rams history in passing yards. He's only 228 yards behind quarterback Kurt Warner, so he could very well hit that in week one. As far as touchdowns go, Jared Goff is seventh all-time in Rams history, 11th all-time in interceptions thrown, so actually looking really good. As far as historical quarterbacks go for the LA Rams, or just Rams team in general, I guess if you're going to be all picky about me not saying St. Louis, overall, Jared Goff actually playing really well at quarterback for the Rams. If you compare him to the rest of the Rams quarterbacks, he's playing very well. Let's see. Running back Malcolm Brown. Lost the microphone there. Running back Malcolm Brown is 43rd all-time in Rams history with 769 rushing yards. And that is the top. He's the current leader as far as active players go in Rams history with 769 rushing yards. We did talk about these guys, but wide receiver Robert Woods is 14th in yards, and Cooper Kupp is 17th in yards right now. All time. That's all time in Rams history, in just what they've done with the Rams. Robert Woods, he's put up, in three seasons with the Rams, he's put up more touchdowns, receptions, and receiving yards than he did in four seasons with the Buffalo Bills. So that's pretty cool stuff. And Cooper Kupp, obviously, he's going to be entering his fourth season. So Woods and Kupp obviously entered their time as Rams together. Woods getting a little bit more yards there. Kupp, he's doing some damage himself, though. I think we all know that. But also, keep in mind, Kupp missed a lot of time with an injury. So that's something to keep an eye on, too. Our current interception leader is safety John Johnson, who missed a lot of time as well. He's got 7 interceptions, though. Sack leader, you guys ready for this one? Aaron Donald, of course. He is 3rd all-time in Rams history in sacks. He is, he's only half a sack behind Kevin Green and only 15.5 behind Leonard Little for the all-time lead. Leonard Little had 87.5 sacks in 147 games. Donald has 72 in 94 games. Donald averages 0.76 sacks per game. So 3/4 of a sack per game Aaron Donald averages. So to tie Leonard Little in 147 games, Aaron Donald will only need to average 0.29 sacks per game. And if he maintains his 7.6 average in 147 games, which is the number of games that Leonard Little played, then Aaron Donald would have 112.5 sacks, which would be good for 23rd all-time in NFL history. So there you go. And of the top five, by the way, of the top five sack, top six sacks leader, sack leaders in Rams history, Aaron Donald is 3rd, less games than all top six. So actually, let me look. I posted a bunch of numbers on my personal Facebook today. So, obviously, Leonard Little played 147 games. Kevin Green, only half a sack more than Aaron Donald, played in 119 games. Donald, obviously, just the 94. Kevin Carter, behind Donald by 9.5 sacks, played in 96 games for the Rams. The same number of sacks for Robert Quinn, 62.5, so 9.5 below Aaron Donald. He did that in 95 games. And Chris Long, with 54.5, but in 114 games. So, pretty interesting stuff there. I thought that was fun, at least. Because anytime I can brag about Aaron Donald a little bit, I'm into it. I'm totally into bragging about Aaron Donald. I love it. It's my favorite thing ever. Let's see here. Let's talk about Brandon Cooks. You guys ready to talk about Brandon Cooks a little bit? I think it's time. Because Brandon Cooks was in the news yesterday on a Friday night, which was the 27th of March. Brandon Cooks getting some attention for some tweets, and he tweeted, "Free me!" And the media decided that they knew exactly what this meant. They knew that Brandon Cooks tweeting "Free me" in March during a quarantine meant that he wants out. He wants out of the Rams. He doesn't want to be here anymore. He hates LA. He hates everything. Sean McVay is no longer his friend. He's ready to go. But none of that was real, because there was a secret word there, quarantine, that he's been participating in. And just some context clues, guys. Just some context clues. Look at the other tweets around it, guys. Are you kidding me? Like NBC Sports and like ESPN not going to look at the previous tweet before this one, saying that he's stuck in his house, quarantine 1, Brandon 0. Free me, and they're gonna say, "Oh, he wants out of. He wants out. He hates the Rams now. He wants to be traded." Are you kidding me? Context clues, guys. Look around. Look around the tweet. Look at what he's talking about. You gotta be kidding me with this one. That's absolutely ridiculous to me. I'm laughing so hard at these media outlets that really thought. Maybe they didn't. I'll give them a little bit of credit here. Maybe they didn't. I'm a media person, and I know how we are. I'm being taught how we are. I'm in school for being taught this stuff. I know how it goes, all right? Sometimes you just need a story, and sometimes you got to try to spin it a little bit. I get it. I totally get it. I've done it to you guys. But it's just annoying to me, that's all, because It was so obvious. Cooper Kupp came and defended him too. He tweeted about it and he was like, guys, he was talking about leaving his house. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Cooks is being talked about for trade. We're going to trade him. He's being talked about for a trade right now. And I mean, we don't know how serious those conversations are, but it is a conversation that's happening. That's all I'm saying. So I did have some grounds is what I'm trying to say, but the media really took that one. They could have just looked at his any other of his tweets that he had tweeted in that time span, and they would have clearly seen that that's not what he was talking about. So that's a little bit frustrating, but I guess whatever. I mean, I'm one of them too, guys. I'm one of them too, so I guess I can't necessarily complain. Let's do some Joe Stradamus. I think it's time to bring that back. I think that's a little bit loud. We'll bring it in, but I think it's time for some Joe Stradamus. We didn't do this last week. We didn't get a chance to, so it's not that we didn't get a chance to. It's that I had nothing to predict. There was just nothing going on, okay? And quarantine was fresh. I was still feeling pretty good. Now, getting a little bored, a little antsy. And I don't want you to feel... I don't want you to think that I'm complaining about being at home, because I kind of have a stressful job, and it's nice to get a break. I'm in healthcare, so it's nice to get a little bit of a break. But I'm too active for this stuff. I'm too active. I need to get out and go do stuff. But Colorado grounded me, so now I'm just at home. It's a bummer time. All right, let's get into Joe Stradamus. Basically what I'm doing for this one, guys, I'm giving you guys my offensive and defensive starters. I think that that's where we're at now in March, where there's no other sports going on, is we get to talk about pre-draft starter projections. This is very outside of Rams Showcase stuff that we're doing here, but it's got to be done. Okay, so quarterback is going to be Jared Goff. For a while, that's just going to happen for quite some time now. Your quarterback's Jared Goff. I don't know who's going to be backup. It could be Blake Bortles, could not be. I think I don't want to put this out there yet, but I really do think that somebody like Cam Newton's going to be our backup. We'll see what happens. I don't know. It may not be Cam specifically, but it could be like Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco could absolutely be the Rams' backup this year. We'll see what happens. Running back, I'm going to say Daryl Henderson, but I'm going to say also, but a lot of Brown. I think it's going to be a lot more committee than anything. I don't think it's just going to be Daryl Henderson or just Malcolm Brown. I think it's going to be both of them. I would like to see Kelly back, but also, this draft class has some sick running backs that I would love to see wearing horns, for sure. Wide receiver, I'm going to go ahead and say, I think that Brandon Cooks is out of the fold at some point. And I'm going to say that Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Josh Reynolds are your starting three. That's not me saying that I want Brandon Cooks to leave, because I don't. Brandon Cooks, it's unfortunate, his injury history, his concussion history more specifically, I'm not going to beat around that. His concussion history is absolutely concerning, and if the Rams can get out before that becomes an actual issue, I think that they should take it. But I think Reynolds is ready. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, we know, are ready. They're good to go. But I think that we could see like a draft day trade of Brandon Cooks. Not necessarily a lead up, but a draft day, an actual genuine draft day trade of Brandon Cooks. Tight end, we're going to see a lot of Higbee and a lot of Everett again. We don't need to save the space. That's a decision that we can make after this season, so I think that we see them both again. Left tackle, Andrew Whitworth. No question there. No boom at left guard. Center, I'm going to say that Austin Blythe gets the start, not Allen. At right guard, Edwards. Got to go to Edwards. And right tackle, Evans. So they're a little bit of a shakeup. We have some two of the second-year guys, Edwards and Evans, on the right side. No boom, obviously, who I do think is eventually just going to shift over to that left tackle spot once Witt leaves. But I think Blythe is a better center than Allen. Simply put, I think Blythe is a better center than Allen, and Blythe is a better center than Blythe is a guard. So I don't think that he should play guard, because I think that if we're going to utilize him the best way that we can, we put him at center. On the defensive side of the football, defensive line that actually looks pretty sick. You know, Michael Brockers, A'shaun Robinson, and Aaron Donald. really strong offensive line, but heavy rotation. I think that we still see a pretty decent rotation with guys like Sebastian Joseph Day. Morgan Fox gets in on there on the D-line. He's pretty versatile because he can actually get his hand in the dirt and play some actual D-line. He can also play some edge rusher. Morgan Fox, he might be where I am right now, actually. I should reach out. Morgan Fox, his family lives in Fountain, Colorado, which is where I live. Maybe I should reach out, see what he's doing. See if he wants to play some video games or something. Some quarantine Madden. I don't even know if we're allowed to do that. The cops don't know. I guess it's okay. Outside linebacker. We got Leonard Floyd coming in. I don't think you sign a Leonard Floyd and then he doesn't start. And then I'm going to say that the other starter with Clay Matthews leaving, Obanaya Okoronkwo, I'm going to say that he gets the start. But I think that guys like Abelcom, who started a full season before in 2018, and then guys like Howard, I think that there's a decent rotation opportunity there. But I think Floyd and Obo and Abelcom, really, I think those are like really the top three. I think we'll see rotation with those guys. Inside linebacker. This one's going to be very different. I would love to put my dude Mark Barron, I would love to put him in this list, but unfortunately, I'm going to predict that he doesn't come to the Rams, and that makes me a little bit sad, but it's okay. I'm going to say the two starting linebackers, inside linebackers for the LA Rams in 2020, Micah Kizer and Troy Reader. I do think we could see a rookie rotation in there as well, but obviously I don't have those names yet. We haven't drafted them yet, so we'll have to wait and see, but I think that is a position that the Rams will target via the draft, as well as offensive line depth. I don't know if the Rams necessarily need any offensive line starters, but, you know, I think Reader impressed me. I'll be real. Reader absolutely impressed me last year. And Micah Kizer, team is very high on Micah. So for that reason as well, I kind of think that Kizer gets the nod. And he's healthy now. He's going to be good to go. So that's going to be fun to watch. Cornerbacks, obviously your number one, your CB1 is going to be Jalen Ramsey. That's obvious. But then we also got Troy Hill. Troy Hill is going to be a starter. I'm very confident in saying that. I think that Troy Hill's existence, I think, is the reason that Darius Slay is not a Ram, or that wasn't necessarily pursued more. And then David Long Jr., I think, is going to be in that slot role. What's interesting, and I know I mentioned this question before as I was bashing everybody for hating the logo, is, you know, was there more behind letting NRC go? And I think that, first of all, Staley, who is only here because he's out of the Fangio tree, and Sean McVay made it abundantly clear that Fangio's defense was the most difficult to go against, so he wanted somebody out of it. Staley and that Fangio, they like versatility. NRC was not very versatile. NRC was an inside linebacker, or inside corner. He was a slot corner. Slot God is what they called him, which I haven't called him that since Edelman absolutely ripped him to shreds in the Super Bowl. Can't call somebody slot God when you get ripped up like that, bro. Absolutely torched in that game. But I think Long, we haven't necessarily seen him a lot, which is unfortunate, but I think that Long is going to be, I think he's going to be slipping into that nickel slot. Hill can absolutely play outside. Hill's played well. I don't see why there's any hate for Hill, if there even is still hate for Hill. It's completely unwarranted. He's been playing fine this entire time. So, and then your safeties. Taylor Rapp and John Johnson. That's an easy one. There's no question about that one. It's going to be a little bit interesting to see how they kind of deploy their safeties and if there's a third that kind of bounces around in there. And that's actually why I bring up Mark Barron again, is because he kind of played that role that Rapp played last year. But now that Rapp is going to be a starter, he's going to be in that Eric Weddle position. I think that the Rams could be looking for that. But at the same time, new defensive coordinator. We don't know if Staley even cares about that position, that little freelance guy. I want Taylor Rapp's nickname to be Freestyle, and nobody cares enough but me. I'm desperate. I want it so bad, guys. I think a free safety with the name Rapp, his name's not Freestyle. I think we messed up. but I'm going to try. I'm just going to keep calling him Freestyle, okay? From here on out, that's who he is. He's Freestyle. And I don't care what you guys have to say about it. Your opinions are irrelevant now. Irrelevant now. That is it, though. That does it for Jostradamus. And that's going to do it for me. Make sure, though, you guys follow Ram Showcase on all your favorite social media. I scrolled here this entire time. Make sure you guys are checking it out. At Ram Showcase on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Ram Showcase. You can follow me as well at Sheriff Joe Bags on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Sheriff Joe Bags. A very common problem that I'm seeing. Sheriff has two F's. Dos F's. And that's a very common problem that I'm seeing. Very common. Sheriff has two F's. One R, two F's. All right. Make sure you guys follow me at Ram Showcase. At Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags, just about everywhere. And make sure you guys subscribe to the Ram Showcase YouTube channel. But you guys will get information on that here in a second. For you YouTube watchers, at least. That is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio. For those of you that aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you that are Rams fans, thank you guys so much for listening, and you guys have a great night.